The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Positively Persistent. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlight
people. Don't stop believing. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I am Jenna Barr. Happy Wednesday to you. I told you we have a new expert joining the panel, and she's here, and I'm really excited because I've been looking forward to having an expert as just like you here and to talk about some difficult things sometimes, but also bring some light on areas in life. So Angie Randall, she is a certified mental wellness and life coach. She is here from Positively Persistent.
Yes.
And if, you know, life is just difficult enough, and then just add a pandemic, maybe a couple hurricanes, and then other things in life, and it can really throw you for a loop. But Angie, what are some things that you focus on in your practice?
Thank you, Jenna, first of all, for having me today. I really appreciate that. With Positively Persistent, what I focus on specifically is personal growth and then helping people that are going through dating and relationship issues. A lot of what I focus on are things that I have gone through in my own life, so I have that real life experience. Some of it good, some of it not so good.
Right.
But that's how we learn, right? That is how we learn, is through going through these experiences, which mold us as human beings. And so I just like to help people to avoid some of the obstacles. Like if there's one person I can help to avoid some of the things that I've gone through, then I look at that as success.
Sometimes it's when you go, and I am such a believer in therapy.
Absolutely.
Let me start off by saying that. Therapy, counseling, coaching, having wise advisors and people in your life that speak into you and encourage you, and then even give you the good clock upside the head sometimes.
Absolutely, yes.
It's so important. So number one, that's why I'm so excited. And it's funny, like we do a segment every Wednesday pretty much called mm-hmm. Wellness Wednesday.
Yes.
And this is one of the most important parts of your overall wellness. So I want to encourage you, if you're listening and you have a question, please text in. It can be about anything. If you want just a little bit of encouragement or a nudge in a direction or something going on, you don't have to be specific or spill the beans, and we'll give Angie's contact information as well. But please feel free to text in 850-437-1620. It's like just hanging out with friends here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have fun no matter what. But your wellness is more than just what you put in your body when it comes to a piece of broccoli or your water or going for a walk. It also involves your mind. And so do you see people when they're starting to just go through different issues in life that they've just neglected that part? Even the healthiest of people that look fit and are, you know, out there running triathlons mm-hmm. and everything, can it be because they're just not having that person in their corner?
It can be. A lot of times we get so involved with taking care of other people that we forget to take care of ourselves. And, you know, one of the things that I go in depth about on my website is taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's actually not taking care of yourself is selfish, okay? Because those that depend on you, you can't give to others what you yourself do not have. And if your cup is empty, you can't fill someone else's cup. So if you're a parent, or if you're a spouse or a life partner or whatever it is that you are, if you're not taking care of yourself first and foremost, then you can't give those other people that depend on you, you can't give to them what they need. Okay. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, being in my late 40s myself, being a mom, you know, it's so important that we as mothers take care of ourselves, because we are the first ones to put everybody else ahead of ourselves. We do it all the time. We put the kids, the husband, the dog, you know, everybody comes before mom. But, and that can apply to any adult, really. But you see it most often in women. And, you know, especially women that are trying to date again, you know, in their late 40s. You know, we're talking about dating in this particular segment, dating after 40. And it's a whole new world out there. It really is from 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah. So how has it changed, though, in 20 years? I mean, you have the obvious, like you can go online and set up a date.
Right.
And then wonder, am I going to come home alive too?
Exactly.
Like, all those things. I mean, I'm sorry. I just worry about it.
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely. And here's the thing. Once again, going back to that real life experience that I talked about earlier, you know, things have changed dramatically since, you know, I am 48. So I started dating in late 80s, early 90s. And I didn't even date for very long because, you know, I had a child younger in life, got married younger in life. So I kind of skipped that phase. So now I'm into that phase. And it's like everything is so different. People used to, you know, talk on the phone all hours of the night and get to know each other.
That's true.
Well, now everything is online, you know, and there's various ways. And I'm not trying to put a negative stigma on dating. There's various ways to date. And online dating just happens to be one of those platforms. You know, and you have your platforms like Match and eHarmony and Zoosk and, you know, Bumble and all of those different areas where you can meet people online. But some people don't want to do that. There's a lot of negative connotations that come with that.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't want to say like your mind automatically goes to like the scariest possibility right. that could happen. And even if you've had a great success story actually with online dating, I would love to hear that too.
Absolutely.
In fact, I know several friends,
mm-hmm.
several couples,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not just talking like one or two, I'm talking like five or six friends and couples that have been married for a pretty long time that met online.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a success story, please share it. 850-437-1620. So you have online dating. It's, you know, it's very different. Yes. Than like 20 years ago when probably like 20 years ago is when I first started dating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really weird thing to say. And you're like, you talked on the phone. You
right.
set up a time on the phone to go meet somewhere. You didn't have a phone with you.
Right.
You went to dinner and then you came home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. That was, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And then in the 90s, you also had a lot of group dating going on.
That's true.
There was a lot of group dating. If you remember the very popular show Sex and the City.
Yes.
Back then, you know, they were always together.
They
and they
were
meeting people together. And people weren't afraid to go up and talk to complete strangers and get to know each other because they were in that group setting and they felt more comfortable. Now that's not so common.
You is know. It because of phones? Is it because we're stuck to the phones?
It is. We have so much dependency on our phones and texting that I feel like we've lost that ability to really connect with somebody on a very personal level. And I kind of feel like we need to get back to that because you don't really get to know somebody via an online profile or even talking to them online for a few weeks. You still don't have any idea who they really are.
No, anybody can. And it's like, I don't know. And you're the expert. So, and you probably have people who come in. And Angie Randall is here. She's a certified life coach. We're talking dating in your 40s, the dadies, mm-hmm. right?
The dadies, I love that.
You can have it. You take that one. But, you know, listen, it feels so weird these days when I talk to my friends. A lot of my, you know, friends of mine who are more experienced in life and older, I just tend to gravitate towards anybody who's 15 years or older than me to mm-hmm. be a close friend. I love having wise, experienced friends mm-hmm. in my life. And when they share like their stories of dating, it's like, oh, I never want to do that.
Yeah. I could write a book.
Like the guy that they talk to online through, you know, whatever, harmony.com, whatever it's, you know, Christian or
right.
E or Unicorn Harmony, whatever it is online, they all of a sudden meet them for dinner or lunch. And they're like, this is not the person I thought. Like the filter between not just physical, the filters
right.
and the just the regular old run-of-the-mill lies.
Absolutely. And that is the scary part, is getting caught in that situation. And one of the things that I when I talk to people about dating and how to go about dating again is, you know, have those boundaries in place. In other words, your first date shouldn't be dinner. don't do that to yourself. You don't want to get stuck with this person at a 2-hour dinner and it's just nothing but awkwardness and you're uncomfortable or you got bad vibes. So don't do that to yourself.
Okay. What's a better way then?
Meet for a drink. Or, you know, a milkshake or coffee or something like that. Or if you want to do a light lunch or something like that. But limit your time with this person to be about an hour. That first date should be about an hour tops, you know. And then, of course, there's lots of safety things to take into consideration. One of the things that I think is most important is letting a friend or family member know where you're going to be.
Okay.
You know, and have that like code word or code phrase to where when they call to check in on you, if you say that code word or code phrase, there's a problem.
Ooh.
And that person's going to come to where you are and, you know, rescue you or whatever needs to be done. But you've got somebody who knows where you are, and then you've got that code word and code phrase, which is so helpful. You know, always meet in a public place, of course. Most of us know that.
Yes.
And, you know, a very public place, something like a restaurant.
Right. And if they try to convince you maybe that they'd like to go somewhere, just come over.
Yeah, no.
Probably block and stop mm-hmm. that. Right.
Absolutely.
There. Okay.
And it's okay to say, you know what, I don't know you that well. I'm not that comfortable with you. So, no, I'm not going to, you know, come back to your house, or you're not going to come to my house. It's okay to say that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're standing up for yourself and you're honoring your boundaries and you're protecting yourself first and foremost.
I love that too. And I just, let's talk a little bit more. So safety in dating, and Angie Randall is here. If you're over in your 40s, or even if you're not,
right,
and you're just dating in general,
exactly,
and listening, and just wondering, like, how am I going to find that mate? It just seems like it's never going to happen. I had this conversation with a friend the other day, and it broke my heart because this friend in particular is absolutely incredible. So mm-hmm. it blows my mind that they're even still single, and because I've known them for so long, and I'm like, don't give up. Don't give up, because you know what? If you wait long enough, the absolute most perfect person is there.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the waiting is just the hardest part, but then they share stories of dating, and I'm like, maybe you should just stop, you know.
Yes.
But boundaries in dating when you're right. first starting out, how do you keep that when it seems like so many people are also easily offended when you keep those? Because they're all of a sudden, why do you think I'm like a stalker or mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt you?
That's the hard part. You know, when I first started dating again, I was the nice girl. I was the one that didn't want to upset anybody, God sure. forbid, offend anyone, you know, very agreeable. And I found that got me nowhere. Nowhere. And so, you know, after a couple of bad experiences, I got some thick skin. And I was like, all right. So I sat down and made my list of boundaries. Yeah. And these are boundaries that are non-negotiable for me. And if they don't align with a potential, you know, mate's boundaries, okay,
sure,
then that's okay. But it's time for me to move on, because those are boundaries that I'm not willing to negotiate on.
Absolutely.
You know, and so you have to kind of, there's a way you can talk to people and let them know that, you know, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work for me, I'm, you know, for whatever reason, and you can do your best to not hurt their feelings, but sometimes you just, there, people are going to get hurt, and there's nothing you can do about it, but do your best to try not to, and then move on.
And if you don't mind me adding too, I feel like if somebody really has pure intentions and wants to find their proper and correct and whatever soulmate,
mm-hmm.
they won't be angry with you putting up boundaries.
Absolutely. They're going to respect that. Anybody who is looking for something long-term, looking for something serious, meaningful, they're looking for somebody that has boundaries.
Yeah.
They're looking for somebody that's going to respect and honor their own boundaries, because if you don't respect and honor yours, you're not going to respect and honor theirs.
That's right.
And so it takes a degree of emotional intelligence. You know, it takes a degree of being able to see things from other people's perspectives. It's overall maturity is what it is, emotional maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time. Emotional maturity is one of those things that we develop over time. And part of the development of that comes from those negative experiences that we've gone through. You know, I've known people that have done things that they regret, and, you know, while dating, because they were in such a constant state of fear, anxiety, worry, and stress that it caused them to react in a emotionally reactive way, in mm-hmm. a negative way. now that they're out of that situation, they can see how those factors led to their actions and they learned from that. So as a result, they get more mature, and that's just how the life cycle goes.
Okay. And I love that. And you can walk people through that too as well. If they're really having a hard time, they can come and schedule time with you.
Absolutely.
You do sessions and can help people, because sometimes the trauma a lot of times can trickle over, whether it's from a previous relationship or even the way that you're raised.
Absolutely.
Or just one bad instance. It only takes one time to kind of trigger that fight or flight effect in your brain, and then it can impact the way that you see other people, impact the way that you see situations, especially dating. If you've had a bad date or a bad relationship or were abused in your past, you're all of a sudden like, you know what, I think I'm gonna go ahead and just cut myself off and go become a nun, you know, like
which is a defensive behavior.
Right.
And while your intentions are pure because you want to protect yourself, in the long run that does ultimately hurt you. And so, yeah, talking with a coach or a therapist or somebody like that that can help you identify those triggers and help you work through that is key in helping you grow emotionally and relationally.
And I also want to remind our listener that, you know, going to therapy doesn't make you weak. Just like if you go to physical therapy or you go to the gym and you work out, you're doing something good for your body that it might hurt for a little bit to get through those parts of you that you're trying to, because a lot of people don't even know why they act the way they do, or they're dating, like in the dating world, why am I having a hard time? Is it me? Is it me? Or is it just everyone else? And walking them through that. It's just like exercising, getting that physical therapy and walking yourself through that with another person who can see it from a different lens and a different perspective.
Absolutely. And let me just say that personal growth right now is so attractive to so many people. You know, I hate to use the word trending, but it really is. I mean, those that are investing in themselves and their own mental health and their personal growth, that is very appealing to others who are investing in themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to attract, right? You, if you're on the track of, I want to be better, I want to better myself, I want to, you know, I want to do, I want to react in a much more positive way, then you don't want to be with someone that's the complete opposite of that. You want to be with someone that's also investing in themselves. So it really is something that for me personally, it's a very attractive feature, knowing that someone is taking steps to better themselves.
Absolutely. 100%. So Angie Randall is here. She's a certified life coach. We're talking dating in your 40s or dating at all. How scary the world is right now with, you know, where am I going to get what I get? Or am I going to get upset? And am I going to get catfished? All the things.
Yes, exactly.
Have you watched that show?
I have. And it's so sad.
It's so sad. Although it is there to entertain us, it's also terrifying.
Yes.
And you're like, why am I laughing? But I'm also like scared at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think it actually does more damage to us, you know, because you're wondering, is this going to happen to me?
Right.
But, you know, I love hearing success stories. I hope maybe you'll be able to share one too without even naming names. But I also, we were talking about dating, online dating, in person, you know, letting people know if you have that special friend, that person or family member that can track your phone when you're on dates to make sure that you feel safe, especially when it's something new. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that you're taking that extra cautionary step to protect yourself, setting boundaries in your no's and your yeses, reminding yourself it's okay to walk away, getting that extra help. But what about walking into the dating world and knowing what to look for beforehand? Should everybody kind of have, should it be like a list on your refrigerator?
Well, that's actually really important. So when you decide you're ready to start dating, the very first thing you have to do is know what you want.
Okay.
Straight up. That's most important thing. Know what you want and know what you don't want. Okay. If you are out there and you're looking for a serious relationship that's going to ultimately end in marriage, then those are the type of people that you want to date, or those that have that similar interest. You know, the second step that's most important is establishing your boundaries. Know what you're willing to tolerate and what you're not, you know. And there is a difference between boundaries and preferences, obviously. Preferences we kind of will give a little leeway to, but boundaries are definitely hard line yes and no's, okay? And then, of course, you know, you need to think about what are red flags for you. red flags are so important, and there's different red flags for whatever stage of dating that you're in.
Okay.
You know, so for example, if you just meet someone, let's say you've just met someone, you're at a social gathering, you're talking, there's obviously chemistry there, conversation is flowing, you know, red flags in that situation might be, does the person look me in the eye when they're talking to me, or are their eyes wandering, you know, all over the place, you know, right, all over my body or whatever.
Right.
Another thing is, do they ask questions about you? Do they appear interested? And I'm not talking about generic questions, real questions about what you're interested in, what your passions are, what your hobbies are, your family life, things like that. Are they really making an attempt to know who you are? You know, if not, then that's a red flag that maybe they're not looking for the same thing you are. Maybe they're just looking for something casual. You know, and once you really get to start dating this person, you want to look for things like, are they consistent? Okay. Do their actions line up with their words? And that's a big, you know, there's an old cliche that we say all the time, and that is, actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the dating world, that's not really true. Okay. In the dating world, what you want to see is actions and words line up together. So basically, if I'm telling you how much I love you and how wonderful and amazing you are, but I make no attempt to spend time with you or give you what you need, then my actions and my words aren't lining up.
Right.
Okay. So in regards to dating, actions and words should match up.
Yeah.
One does not have more weight than the other.
It's true.
You know, and then the biggest red flag when you're in that part where you're actually dating someone, and you've been dating for a while, is, you know, do they make time for you? Are you a priority in their life? Have you met anybody important in their life? Have you met their friends? Have you met their family? You know, things like that. And of course, we can go into a much deeper conversation, but but those are kind of just the nuts and bolts of it.
That's really good to just have that preliminary outline for dating.
Yes.
in this day and age, with everything that you could possibly do, from Bumble or meeting somebody on Facebook, and you get that DM, right, that request, you're like, oh boy, what's this person want? You know, it's really good to have your boundaries set, know your red flags, know yourself first. And that gets me to this point with you, Angie, and your practice, Positively Persistent. And you practice here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County?
Yes,
and,
I do.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a website that people can go to be able to reach out to you or call you?
I do. It's positivelypersistent.com. And then, of course, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well.
Yeah. And so I did have a question. Somebody would like to know if you only work with women.
No, I work with men. I work with couples. You know, whoever needs my services, I'm there to help.
I love that.
Absolutely.
And so Angie and I have been chatting today about dating in this day and age. And, you know, I think that one of the best things to do, and we'll go back to this, is before you even get started, before you even like do anything and you make those lists, if you haven't taken care of yourself, you probably might not be healthy enough, because that person won't fix you. Right. And I think that's sometimes like the lie that is fed through movies or social media, just seeing a glimpse of people's lives. So that's also another, it's not just about dating. She is a certified life coach, and sometimes it's best to have that coach in your corner. So, with the last like minute left, Angie, I'd like to give you just like a moment to just encourage people in that way to not just reach out to you, but maybe start working on themselves.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, you know, personal growth, that what you invest in yourself comes back to you tenfold. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, the positive investments that you make in yourself, you're not only going to see within yourself, but others are going to see that within you as well. You're going to start to attract people to you that also have those same goals in life as far as their emotional maturity and their emotional growth and their overall mindset. So, you know, I do welcome you to get involved with a coach or a counselor. And keep in mind, you know, one thing I think a lot of people forget is, mental health professionals, we have coaches ourselves. We have therapists ourselves. We have counselors ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. And it shows a level of accountability and overall maturity.
That is a perfect way to end. Angie, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Go
thank
online,
you.
Check out positivelypersistent.com. Find Angie Randall and Positively Persistent on Facebook and Instagram. And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you again.
All right, don't go anywhere. We have an update with the Escambia County Department of Health after a Fox News update and then a local news update with Mark Jacobs.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu, California's largest